discover what are the real needs, what are the real problems, because sometimes there are needs, but you don't know your problem. Like there are some symptoms and there's the need of some stuff, but you don't know actually what's the problem that is behind it. If it's a problem of administration, if it's a problem of technology, is it a problem of culture, etc. So as an expert, you need to work on that into what can contribute to solve these issues in Latin America.
Welcome to the Digital Government Podcast. Tune in to discover the future of governance and ways of getting there.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Digital Government Podcast with your usual host, Federico Plantera, journalist, sociologist, and researcher accompanied today in this intercontinental episode of the Digital Government Podcast by Carlos Vargas, who is an expert at the Competence Center of eGovernance Academy for Governance and Engagement and is currently connected from Latin America. I think specifically from Chile, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Hello, Federico. Hello, everyone that is hearing us.
And Carlos might be actually a known name or a known face or a known voice to many of the people who are tuning in for this podcast today, because he, apart from the fact that he has an extensive previous experience in digital transformation that includes also work in a few of Estonian private companies committed to that, such as, for example, Roxnet, he also holds a PhD, actually, from Tallinn University, as many of the other members of the team of the Competence Center. And today is joining us exactly to sort of like put on the map Central America, but also Latin America in general, in terms of the map of digital transformation for eGovernance Academy. So, Carlos, I will actually start exactly from this, because we were both in Estonia, actually, for quite a long time. And now we're both not based in Estonia, essentially. Still, in this episode that connects, let's say, Latin America and Europe, what we aim to do is exactly to understand what are the projects that are going on in the Latin American and Caribbean area. But also, first and foremost, what are you doing there? Why are you there in the first place?
Well, it's a very interesting project. As you mentioned before, I have been involved with Estonia for a very long time. I always was interested in the history or how to collaborate or how to integrate the Estonian experience in Latin America, although I was not very successful at it because Estonia was looking more to the Asian part, to the European side of collaboration, than to the African side. But now the European Union is trying to look a little bit in a more collaborative way to Latin America. They're investing more towards diplomatic relations or searching common grounds and common experiences. And digitalization, of course, is one of the points that they're putting more effort. Therefore, they launch a project called the Digital Alliance. And from there, there's a pillar one that is called Political Dialogues. And EGA is leading the component of e-governance. So I am the representative of EGA, but working on this EU project here in Latin America.
Yes, and also you are originally exactly a citizen of one of the Latin American countries. You're from Mexico. But apart from the fact that, you know, following to that Estonian experience, in any case, you have spent quite some time in Latin America, exactly working on digital transformation. So in this new position, let's say, that you have within the ranks of eGovernance Academy already for quite some time, actually for quite some months, but from your viewpoint, let's say, is there anything that we can maybe shortlist, let's say, in terms of regional needs when it comes to digital transformation that, from your point of view, but also from the perspective of this European project, countries in Latin America are aiming to address?
Yes, actually, it's something that I have been working for years, and finally I get the chance to work more directly into them. And we selected these four topics, that is interoperability, citizen digital engagement, to be precise. The fourth one will be digital identity. So these are four topics that are currently very important in the region. All countries are trying to have a little bit of approach. They're launching legislations, laws, regulations, projects, etc. So that I think is something that Estonia and the European Union can share or have common grounds. Like, we're all testing in that area. So hopefully for the next 2 years, we'll be working and EGA will be working directly on that.
And we should also not forget, actually, I will take care of mentioning it, that Latin America is also not a new feature, let's say, in this podcast or the activities of eGovernance Academy. Many of you will remember, for example, a few conferences ago that we had in Tallinn that we hosted Yolanda Martinez, who was at the helm, let's say, of digital transformation in Mexico for quite some time. This year, at the eGovernance conference, we had a pretty big Brazilian delegation, for example, visiting, but also talking on stage about the status of digital transformation in their country. So, definitely, Latin America and the countries in Latin America have not been, let's say, completely off and away from the maps of a virtuous digital transformation, let's call it this way.
There's a lot happening in the region. That's correct what you're saying. And it's very interesting because it's a completely different point of view than the European point of view on digitalization. Although we share common topics, there's a completely different approach, and that's what makes it a lot interesting.
Wait, but let's elaborate a little more on this. What would you say that there is like a different approach to digitalization?
For example, let's say in Estonia, digital signature and digital identity is something that goes together, right? With the ID card. In Latin America, normally it's completely separate things. So the digital signature is working for one thing or for one ministers or for the tax purposes. And digital identity can be something completely different. We also need to consider that due to the bureaucratic the bureaucratic composition of Latin America, a historical bureaucratic composition in the public administration, there's a lot of ways on how to identify people. So there's a lot of potential digital identities. So there is not just one, and all of them can be valid. So we're searching common ways on how to unify all of this into make it understand the European approach to digitalization and the Latin approach to digitalization. But we need to consider that there's also a lot of years working hard in this process that they have achieved a lot of interesting things. They have achieved, as you mentioned, Brazil, that was in Tallinn a couple of months ago. They have done incredible work, and they're one of the leaders in the region. So as Uruguay, so as Chile. Chile is already working in cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, digital identity, etc. In fact, Chile is one of the most advanced because they have one of these concepts of ICQ-COT, that is a identify
the personal code
that Estonians have. Well, Chileans have it as well, and well, there are different countries. Colombia, for example, is working on the X-Road quite actively. They're very advanced. I believe one of the most advanced countries in the region in terms of interoperability. There are other countries, let's say Guatemala, that are working on the public policies. I don't know. There's a lot of different efforts. Let's say in governance, Panama, wow, it's doing incredible things in terms of digitalization. They have this office that is dealing with all the digital governance, and they're leading some of the most interesting projects that I have ever seen in the world. Is quite interesting what they're doing. So yeah, there's a lot of efforts. There's a lot going on in the region. So it's very interesting.
I will complete or actually complement the shout outs with a couple of other references, because, for example, I remember that you mentioned X-Road, and I remember that in the province of Neuquén, if I'm not wrong, in Argentina, there is an X-Road instance that is active, up and running already for a few years. There is one, I think, also in the Buenos Aires city government. And another country that has done something, for example, in the field of interoperability is El Salvador, if I'm not wrong, no?
Exactly, yeah. Well, Argentina, as you mentioned, has been working actively for the last 5-6 years on this project. And now they're launching interoperability at a national level. Before it was just in Neuquén, as you mentioned. El Salvador is also working on it. Costa Rica, Bolivia. There's actually the interoperability model of Estonia is very, very popular in the region. So, yep, that's one of the topics that I will be working on for the next couple of years. And hopefully we will arrive to something or some sort of collaboration between Europe, Estonia specifically, and Latin America.
On the collaboration with Europe, I'll get back to that in just a few minutes, because since we mentioned El Salvador, and to get back for a moment to your activities, but there was something happening in El Salvador a few weeks ago, right, as well?
2 weeks ago, yes. We were, me and the expert also from EGA, Dr. Cristina Reinsalu, probably you know her as well. Actually, we met when I was just a PhD student a lot of years ago. Now we're working together. That is quite exciting. And it was the launch of the Central America project of the Digital Alliance. We were conducting for around 50 to 60 people, experts from the region, from all the countries, plus Dominican Republic, which was involved there because of the language that they also speak Spanish. And well, we were conducting some workshops to validate the topics that I already mentioned, these four topics, plus some others, to see what is the collaboration, or to know what is the collaboration that the region wants and expects from the European Union. So it's not the concept that, hey, we are, or us from the European Union want to come to your region with these topics and we want to work on them, but rather, hey, Central American countries, what is that you're doing and how can we help from the European Union for you to achieve what you're searching for? So it's a completely different perspective. And it was very, very successful. For 2 days, we were working with 50, 60 people, high-level people or decision makers. I will just describe it as a very successful workshop with a lot of people from Central America.
And this was happening around the time that it was the first half, mid-October, let's say. Let's talk a little bit instead now about the weeks and the months to come, because exactly, you were mentioning the approach from the European side of things, let's say. It's exactly not to just come there and say, oh, you have a different approach, so you've been doing it wrong this whole time. But actually, exactly, to add something to that and maybe complement it with different approaches or solutions or expertise in general. But in your opinion and from your point of view, since you are exactly a little bit, you know, in between, let's say, these two different ends, what would you say and what would you point out as the help and the contribution that from the European side and also from the side of organizations like, for example, eGovernance Academy, what is the contribution that can actually be brought, let's say, to Latin America and Latin American countries in terms of digital transformation?
Well, there are two levels for this. I will start from the side of the European Union. So what the European Union can contribute is with collaboration, active collaboration in terms of agreements, support, sharing experience, or perhaps bringing the Latin American experts to Europe to learn what is happening in the region and then come back, or perhaps the regional approach that the European Union has that Latin America is lacking, but they're searching for. That is how us as a region can collaborate and be as successful as you, Europe, that is different countries, different levels of digitalization, but somehow you manage to approach something that is working. It has ups and downs, but you're working as a region. So we want to do that at the Latin American side. And then also from the other level, that it will be the Estonian experience and in what EGA is involved, is that we have the experts that could share the experience, could share the knowledge, and can be working directly with the Latin American counterparts to achieve this vision that the European Union and the Latin American countries have.
But considering that a lot actually has already happened and has been done so far in Latin America in terms of digital transformation, you, in your case, coming from there and then now being back there, let's say, is there anything that you have seen, you know, that had maybe, I don't know, the highest margins, let's say, in terms of improvement in terms of public service delivery or the way that the public administration works, and something that, for example, let's say 10 years ago did not at all work the same way? Since you said 2013 before that, now I said like 10 years ago.
There is a lot happening. Like the digital evolution in the region and in some countries has been extremely fast, but also that leaves something that is not as positive as the digital transformation would like. That is the digital gap between the ones that took the digital evolution and the ones that were not, or that they didn't even have access to digitalization or digital tools or capacities. Yep.
But in this sense, you mean within the same country or across countries?
Within the same countries and across countries. So that's something that is happening in Latin America. We have a lot of indigenous populations or vulnerable populations in Latin America that do not have access yet to internet services. Therefore, talking about digital identity, digital services is something that is just completely out of the conversation. So, on the other side, there's also countries, for example, Chile, that is very advanced in some things. And then you go, I don't know, to other countries in the region that do not have the same evolution as Chile has. So yeah, there is this digital gap between countries and inside the countries as well. At the moment, we're discussing or planning the digital engagement that is focused precisely on this, on how to tackle the vulnerable communities and the indigenous communities that do not have so much access and that have been historically, let's say, left aside from the digitalization process. And we want to develop a methodology that will get them involved, that will teach the government on how to work digitally with this population and also the population to have the skills and the capacities to talk to the central governments or to, in general, to their governments to be listened in their digital needs.
You mentioned the word, which is focus, no? So something that I think it's emerging from this conversation is the fact that digital transformation overall, as let's say a concept that has definitely happened, let's say, in Latin America in general. But it seems to me, and you will correct me if I'm wrong on this, that the focus of the different digital transformation projects between different countries has been a little scattered, no? For example, we mentioned some countries as, you know, very virtuous in terms of certain domains, and then we mentioned other countries as more virtuous in terms of other different domains. Where, in your opinion, in staying on this topic of the focus, I would ask you then two things. The first would be, what are, in your opinion, for example, the domain areas for the development of a digital government, let's say, where there have been the best, let's say, improvements so far, in your opinion? Is it population management? Is it taxes? Is it cybersecurity?
Well, it depends also on the country, on the European country that you're talking about. Yeah, so let's understand the both sides. So from the European side, there are four teams participating in this project. It's the German with GIZ, then France with Expertise France dealing with cybersecurity. GIZ is dealing with connectivity, meaningful connectivity. Then Expertise France with cybersecurity, and FIAF from Spain that is dealing with data governance. So we can see that even though there is a very strong regional agreement or a union, the European Union, and everyone has a certain level of digitalization or at least certain standards of digitalization, there are countries that are stronger in certain topics. For example, Estonia is very well known for being the digital leader, like digital services, digital identity, digital signature, etc. However, Spain, in data governance, all the data protection for citizens is very, very evolved. And they have done a major work in Latin America. Germans, on the other side, with connectivity, they're doing something also, something great on their side. And that's why we're focusing, or all these teams are focused in Latin America, dealing with like different areas. Perhaps there are countries that are more interested into tackling data governance. There are some others that already have data governance covered, and perhaps they want to move on to digital services, or they already have that and they want to tackle the cybersecurity issues that they already had. So it's like different levels and different approaches, and both regions have their leaders on it and like their ways on doing things, and we're all learning from each other. So that's also the approach that we're taking over here.
I will do one attempt now, let's say, with you, which is to try and pull the strings back together a little bit. So with a bit more of a helicopter view that goes above exactly the differences from country to country, do you think that in general there are certain areas of expertise where there are some, let's say, regional needs and challenges that the different countries in Latin America could, let's say, tackle in this more, how to say, like less specific and less country specific manner? Is there something that, in your opinion, like cuts across, let's say, the different countries as a domain where there should be improvements, or like where, in any case, a European perspective could actually help? Or this like more tailored made approach is something that, in your opinion, fits better the context exactly for what you just explained to me?
The easiest approach or the easy answer will be that there's already a line that is just adaptable to the Latin American region. You know that the Europeans have worked on something and it's just something that you can duplicate in Latin America. However, that's not the reality. It's a very complex situation in Latin America. Socially speaking, politically speaking, economically speaking, that requires a very tailored approach of the expertise that, or the lessons learned from the European side. So I wouldn't say, like, I would like to have this like this line of work that is just, okay, I learned my part and it's just let's replicate it. But it doesn't work like that. It is really a very entangled, a very hard work from the expert side in the region to discover what are the real needs, what are the real problems, because sometimes there are needs, but you don't know your problem. Let's say you are sick and you have a running nose, but actually you don't know if you have COVID, if it's just a flu, if it's allergy. And the same happens with the digitalization. Like there are some symptoms and there's the need of some stuff, but you don't know actually what's the problem that is behind it. If it's a problem of administration, if it's a problem of technology, is it a problem of culture, etc. So as an expert, you need to work on that and then try to adapt the European model into what can contribute to solve these issues in Latin America.
And also into what has been, in any case, an approach that in many countries in Latin America has worked so far. Because if countries have made certain advancements, then there is no reason, or there is no, I mean, there is no case for it that just, let's say, scrapping what has been done up until now in terms of approaches, but actually exactly to build up on that. Carlos, I would actually, I think, wrap this episode here, but with a question that is a bit more personal to you, let's say, and it is now that you're there and that you have exactly this like position within eGovernance Academy, that you find yourself as well, you know, a little bit in between, let's say, Europe and Latin America in terms of the activities and the projects. Is there anything that you are particularly, let's say, looking forward to get your hands dirty with, let's say, regarding the projects and the programs that are there?
Oh, there's a lot of things. So I'm passionate about vulnerable communities. At the moment, there is something, there is just some discussions about it. It's nothing concrete, but Have you heard about Eastern Island?
Easter Island, yes. The big noses, the statues, the rocks with the big noses.
Exactly. So it's...
apologies to all the people from Easter Island. Is there anyone living in Easter Island? Yes.
So it's part of Chile. It's one of the most remote places in the world or remote airports in the world. It's difficult to arrive there. There's some special needs even for arriving there as Chilean. You need permission, etc. So it's not so easy to arrive there. And this is one of the examples of a very isolated, vulnerable, or digitally vulnerable communities in Latin America, because it's, even though that it's in the middle of the Pacific, it's one of the regions in, or one of the parts of Latin America. And I was thinking, as you mentioned, is like something that I wanted to get my hands dirty on, is like, how can I help these people that are vulnerable? How can we manage to do something with them? Like, it will be so interesting. And we were talking with the government, and there's actually some efforts now being carried to try to integrate them in the digital aspect in terms of connectivity, cybersecurity, digital services, etc. So we're talking or trying to negotiate of how EGA can contribute in the development of the methodology of digital participation or digital engagement. And that's something that I will be so, so truly happy to start working in, because it represents a very hard challenge. It will test all my knowledge in digitalization. It will test my skills. It's something that can be replicable in the region. As there's a vulnerable community, a very separate community, it shares common grounds, even though that it's in the middle of the Pacific, as I mentioned. It's something, or there's some common grounds that they shared with a lot of communities in Latin America. So if we test this methodology in this very specific context, we might have some tools that we can be applied to other communities here in the region. And that's something that I'm very, very excited to work with.
I think you're right to be excited about it, considering that we both know exactly that the Governance Academy does have experience in the Pacific Islands, not specifically exactly in Easter Island, but in the Pacific Islands, so very remote areas, and at the same time also digital vulnerability. In that sense, you were, one of the main people speaking of digital vulnerability from e-Governance Academy, who is Cristina Reinsalu, together with Cristina Mand. So perfect in that sense.
Cristina is already involved. She's also quite excited about it. And imagine, so we will be telling in the future that EGA has been in one of the most remote places, bringing the digitalization or helping in the digitalization process over there. So it will be quite exciting, I think, both for me, for Cristina, and EGA in general.
Well, Carlos, I can only say that I'm happy to hear that, and I'm also happy to hear the excitement, and good luck for all the rest at this point. I'm sure that we will get the chance to record more episodes again with you, the man in Chile, the EGA's man in Chile. So thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Federico, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
All that is left to say from me is to tune into the next episode of the Digital Government Podcast and to have a nice one for today.
This podcast is brought to you by the eGovernance Academy. Tune in next time.